Yay!
Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and
yes.
Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Hey, kids.
Hi.
It's October.
Yay.
Our first recording of the new month of October, or as they call it in the radio business, Rocktober.
Wow, how'd they come up with that?
Radio people are clever.
They're so smart.
It's true. Coming up on the show today, in fact, all this week, we've got a very special guest, Arjun Singh, the drummer, one of the 17 drummers for the band Wallpaper.
12 drummers. There are 12 drummers, not 17.
Oh, I'm sorry. I miscounted. Do you officially have more drummers than Ladysmith Black Mambazo?
Yes, officially.
Okay.
Guinness
nice.
Book of Records.
Plus, we're going to examine why Bernie Kosar is blaming retired football players for his DUI. We're going to talk a little bit about the whole government shutdown. And, of course, Miley Cyrus. Because, hey, that's what people are talking about. And we're people, right? Christiana's off again this week because she's very busy. Very busy. She actually messaged me today to ask if she was scheduled to do the show tonight. And I said, well, you asked for it off, so it's up to you. If you want to come in, you're more than welcome to. And then she messaged me a little while later and said no. So we'll carry on without her. Also joining us today is my friend Hootie. Say hello, Hootie.
Hi, Hootie.
There
you
go.
Yay!
Obedient.
He'll be chiming in briefly throughout the show, but probably with little tidbits, but not giant tidbits. I would expect little tidbits from him.
What's
a giant tidbit?
I was trying to think of what a giant tidbit would be. Another word for it. Hunks?
Mm-hmm. A hunk. A chunk.
A chunk.
A hunk of burning love.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nate will beat me if I talk too much.
It's true. I will pummel you with timbits, which are not tidbits. Timbits, not tidbits. Timbits,
okay.
Timbits are Tim Horton's donut holes.
Oh.
So there you go.
Mm.
That actually sounds kind of delicious. If I go on at length, will I get pummeled with timbits?
I don't have any here, so no. Sorry. We're not in Canada or in the northeastern U.S., so no Tim Hortons.
What a ripoff.
I also have a wealth of embarrassing Nate stories, which means he'll kill me.
Yay.
Or I can just turn your microphone off.
Exactly.
We'll still be able to hear you.
That's good radio when we get to hear a story.
That'll be great. That'll be awesome stuff. So let's start out. Arjun, thank you again for coming in. You've been on the show a couple times before.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me, Nate.
I always love to have you. You're back from the Warped Tour.
Back and alive.
Yay.
I survived it.
Now, here's my big question for you in the Warped Tour. Did my old PlayStation 2 survive the Warped Tour?
Your PlayStation 2 did survive.
Yes!
And it is sitting at my house waiting for the next tour.
Yeah.
We came in. I did a desperate plea on Facebook asking if anyone had a PlayStation 2 that the band could take on the road with us, because we have this one game that we really like to play, and it's only available on PlayStation 2. And then Nate came to the rescue.
You're a hero,
wow.
Nate.
Wow. What game is it?
It's a Buzz Trivia. It doesn't sound very exciting, but it is. Trust
like
me.
It's like a drinking game?
No.
Oh, I got
it's a trivia game with controllers.
There's drunk trivia games.
There are, but
this isn't one of them.
Who in the band is the champion of Buzz Trivia?
Well, it usually comes down to me or one of the other 13 drummers, Thomas Payton.
Oh, it's up to 13 now.
Yes. Did I say 12 earlier?
You did. It's a baker's dozen.
No, yeah, it keeps adding up.
They just keep spawning like rabbits.
He got a text since then. They've added a new drummer.
Another one bites the dust.
It's a very crowded tour bus. Now, yes. while you guys were on tour, you did updated videos on YouTube about the tour.
I did, indeed.
Let's take a listen to part of the first one.
Warped Tour, Wallpaper bus. Very first time on a bus.
Really? I went to school on a bus every day as a kid. This was his first time on a bus?
First time on a bus. I don't know how he did it. I don't know.
That's crazy.
It's weird.
It explains the shirt, though. Let's go on.
Can you believe it?
No.
People think that I'm rich and famous and, probably got a spaceship. Nope.
No?
First time on a bus.
And that was his first time.
Again, though, riding the bus, not exactly the highest level of social strata.
No, but to us, it was.
Sure, a tour bus, yeah.
Was it a swanky bus?
It was kind of the lower tier of swank.
Okay.
Maybe like swunk.
So Swinky. One of the first things they did was go through the fridge on the bus to sort of highlight, was it like your one thing that you brought?
Yeah. What people, we do like a little quick Target or Walmart run to start the tour and load it up real quick. Everyone kind of calls out what they have in there.
So let's listen to a little bit of that.
My Chobani yogurt.
Yogurt, SpongeBob SquarePants.
We're really into the peppered salami.
This is my balsamic vinaigrette.
We got enough go-gurts.
Nobody gets the balsamic vinaigrette.
Yes, he's very protective of his balsamic.
Budweiser's defeat all kinds of preschoolers and grown men.
This is also my zone. My zone.
Pop-Tarts, Superman edition.
That was Arjun's Superman Pop-Tarts. What flavor are those?
Those are frosted strawberry Superman flavored Pop-Tarts.
Oh, that's the frosted strawberry is, I believe, the best Pop-Tart.
It's the only Pop-Tart.
And that's how Superman got his powers, I think.
Exactly.
Based
and then
on
they,
the DC universe.
And they mashed him up and then put him in the Pop-Tarts. And now we all have his power.
So
we're amazing.
Now, how long were you out on the Warped Tour? How long was it?
The Warped Tour is about, I think it's like 2 months long. And I think it's 40 or something shows.
So it was
a pretty long time.
So what was your favorite venue to play?
Well, it was weird because you don't really get much time to appreciate the venues because you wake up in the venue and then you go to sleep and then you're in the new one before you really got to experience the past one. So I would say the ones that we stayed in more than once. We stayed in Pomona Fairgrounds like a couple nights and I got to hang out there and like kind of explore. They had this weird little like abandoned day camp area out back. It was kind of scary and cool and creepy.
Nice.
I like that.
And what would be your least favorite stop on the tour?
Las Vegas, without a doubt. It was the hottest day and it was in a giant parking lot and kids were dying, not dying, but they were passing out all over the place. It was danger city and it was miserable.
Yuck.
Vegas That's not sucks. Good.
But overall, I would say the tour was so much more fun than I thought it was going to be. It was just a bunch of guys and bands going on the road, having barbecues, drinking beers, and just having the best summer ever.
So it was really just like going on a big road trip with all your buddies?
Well, it was, but at first we thought we were like the odd man out because we didn't know anyone. But little did I know that we were going to just make so many friends on that tour, and still today I have so many of those guys are my close bros now.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
On a side note, if you're somebody who enjoys Spotify and it says, if you'd like to install the new edition of Spotify, just restart Spotify, don't click that because it keeps shutting down
but
and coming back
a,
up.
Is that Channing Tatum right there?
That's Scotty McCreary.
Okay, well, he looks like Channing Tatum from here. I would click on him if I were you.
So I was watching all your videos while you were on tour and you guys were posting them, and there was one with some like crazy WWE mixed martial something. What was happening there?
There was actual wrestling happening on the festival grounds. One of our close friends, who's a tour manager for one of the bands, JJR, was battling with another member of another band, Anto, and they were having these duels that happened over and over during the festival. And you'll see more of it too, because they're doing a Warped Tour reality TV show, and they're covered that pretty deeply, so you'll get to see that as well. But it was really, really kind of fun and awesome to see.
So who were some of the bigger, more famous bands that were on the tour this year?
I'd say Goldfinger was on it. The Aquabats were on for a few shows. Real Big Fish. Wonder Years was one of the newer kind of bigger bands playing. And then there's also a bunch of like kind of hardcore screamo bands that are very popular right now, but I wasn't really into.
Okay. Did you get to meet Bachman, Turner, or Overdrive?
No, but I now wish I did.
No, because they're Canadian. They're awesome.
Were they on the entire festival?
No. No, they're like 70 years old now.
And so is Nate.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
So why would they be on the Warped Tour?
I don't know. Tony Bennett shows up places.
But Warped Tour.
So? Tony Bennett. There's no logical reason for it. You don't need to introduce logic to BTO.
All right, Nate.
Because they just take care of business. That's
All
what
right.
they do.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, you don't need to take my word for it. Hold on. Let's have a dueling bands competition for a moment.
What, my band versus your iTunes library? That's not very fair.
No, Nick. No, no. Not the whole library. Hold on.
You can whip out some Cotton Eye Joe.
Yes, that's what I'm going
to
do.
I knew it. Nothing stands up to Cotton Eye Joe.
Nope. No, nothing.
Ow.
There you go. That's I'll what you get for arm. Mocking me, Ted.
I'm pumping my arm enthusiastically and hurt myself, and now I'm destroying the set. You're welcome.
Let's...
Oh, so you're going to play them at the same time.
Yes.
I see. That's...
We're going to mash it up.
I don't think...
When they're gotcha. Mixed together, they kind of sound like something Kid Rock would try to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think this is a Kid Rock check.
Yeah.
And that's the answer of what they'd be doing on the Warped Tour.
Okay.
Because if you mix them together, then you've got something.
It makes sense now.
I'm not saying you should, but you could do that.
First there was Girl Talk, now there's Nate Darling.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh.
Girl, Arjun?
Girl Talk is like the ultimate mashup. You should listen to it.
Oh, okay.
Really awesome.
Becca?
It's free.
I know you've been super busy, but is there going to be any more public access shows?
I'm glad you asked. I have been super busy. No, I am currently filming a bunch of stuff for public access show. I was hoping to get it out by October, but it's just with the sheer amount of editing I have to do, it'll probably be a little bit later in the year. But I am definitely working on it, and there are sketches already filmed and in the hole, ready to go.
Awesome. I'm excited to know the project is continuing.
It definitely is. It took me a while to recover from the 3D motion sickness I had given myself.
Yeah, the 3D public access show was amazing, dude.
Thank you.
It was really cool. Ted and I watched it with our glasses. Because it wouldn't be as good without your glasses.
No, definitely not.
The fact that you took on such a large project by yourself
was the stupidest idea ever, wasn't it?
No, but I mean, you pulled it off. That's what's amazing about it. Like, against all odds and good sense, you took on this huge project and pulled it all together, and it came out awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was pretty huge. I appreciate that. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not a problem. A little bit of...
You are still listening to Wallpaper.
Yeah.
Is that you drumming?
Oh. No, unfortunately. Oh. It's one of the other 15 drummers.
Wow. Keep going up.
15? I say 15?
Yeah, it does keep going up. Eventually, you're going to hit my number of 17.
17's your number?
That is the number I threw out there.
I've been unemployed all year. Can I be a wallpaper drummer?
Yeah, you can.
Awesome.
Ted, you want to do it?
I actually could use it, yeah.
All right, you're in.
Cool.
I cannot be a wallpaper drummer because I was at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. And we were in the arcade, and they have this MTV drummer game.
Oh, I know that one.
You know that one. So I put in my 4 tokens, and I'm assuming that the screen in front of me is going to be giving me some sort of guidance as to what to hit. And it just sits there with, like, this countdown timer of how long the song has to go. So I'm just randomly hitting shit. Sounds terrible. But at least I picked it. I didn't make the mistake of picking a song that's like, oh, this is easy. I can drum to this. I picked a song that I wanted to hear.
Oh. See, it's like a jukebox.
Yeah.
A dollar jukebox.
Yeah, with obnoxious, terrible drumming.
Drummer karaoke.
Yeah.
Drummeroki.
Kind of. It sounds like Rock Band, but for people who have musical talent, is that the idea?
And want to pay coins.
Yeah.
Tokens.
Sorry. Gotcha. Golden tokens.
The golden tokens.
Did you get, like, tickets for prizes at the end? Or?
Oh, God, no.
Would you have had you didn't get...
Good? No.
Oh, okay.
Nope, there's no prize. The prize is you get to play.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I did Heat of the Moment by Asia. Which, not an easy song, and I was not good at it all. So.
I love that was the song you wanted to hear. Like, you're at the boardwalk and you're like, oh, yeah, Little Asia right now.
He got caught in the heat of the moment.
How dare
boardwalk.
You besmirch Asia?
Oh, I wasn't besmirching. It's a fun song. You continually surprise me when we did a show where we had to all talk about our heaven and hell songs, like what song would be playing all the time in heaven. And Nate's was Hanson.
Mm-hmm. In heaven?
Yes.
Mbop.
Mbop. I could listen to... In fact, not only that, not speaking of Hanson, but of something similar, on my way home tonight, I was driving through Midtown Sacramento, listening to Call Me Maybe. Not just listening to, singing along with it loudly with the windows down.
Oh, you can't not sing.
No, I'm right there with you.
That's awesome.
Yes?
Yeah. Can I tell a fun Nate story?
Yeah.
Can you?
Can I?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So
Nate just went to reach for the volume of his microphone, so he is ready to turn it down if it gets too awkward.
I want to make sure everyone can hear.
So, fun Nate fact, take him to karaoke.
Ooh, we've never done that.
And make him sing Billy Idol.
Oh. White Wedding or any particular jam?
Dancing with Myself.
Aw.
Not kidding. Club full of 300 people. on their feet with fists in the air.
Bonus content. Let's film
in
it and put
Montreal,
it online.
In Montreal, Canada.
Wow.
Wow.
The Canadians.
I'm not wallpaper. No. I'm not a real musician or even pretend to be. But I can do dancing with myself.
See, that's something because I feel like I've never been able to do karaoke. So I think there's a trade-off between the two. And I'm very jealous right now of you.
We should do that. We'll organize a karaoke night.
Okay.
And we'll get everybody in the podcast and in the podcast world associated to come out, except Christiana, because she'll have something else planned. That's the running joke. Not that we wouldn't want her along.
We will just invite her.
Of course. Yes.
Well, Ted and I have never been karaokeing together.
Okay.
But I happen to know that both of us, our karaoke strategy is rap. So I kind of think we could bust out some kind of duet.
Yeah. Tag team. Back
wow,
again.
Wow. That would be amazing.
Because neither one of us feels like we can sing. And we both have a lot of 90s rap songs memorized. So we've talked about it. We have the same strategy.
Yeah.
So do you want to be Snoop Dogg or Dr. Dre?
Oh, I wanted to be Humpty Hump, but if we're going to go that route, I don't know.
That's okay. I'll be all three Beastie Boys by myself. That's cool.
Oh, no. We can be all those people.
Do you want to be Snoop Dogg? That's a phrase I never thought I'd heard you utter.
Well, like in the 90s, you might pick Dr. Well, either way, they both came out okay in the end, you know.
Yeah,
they're not dead.
Yeah, that is the best way to come out of the 90s. Not everyone can say that.
That's a tough call.
Isn't it?
Dr. Dre or Snoop? I mean, Snoop Dogg. Oh, I like Snoop. But I don't know. I'll have to get back to you, honey.
Yeah, you guys will have to think about that. Yeah. Report back
long
next
and
week.
Hard.
Cool.
Yeah, I want to add Call Me Maybe to my karaoke repertoire.
Ooh, I think you should. Everybody in the bar would love it. Any bar we go to.
Not everyone. And you know what would be awesome if they had karaoke at Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill?
Don't they? Yeah. They must.
They would have to, I would think.
We'll have to check.
Yeah, we can all get beers in mason jars and eat sweet potato tots and sing some karaoke.
But do you think they're going to have rap on the karaoke like list at Toby Keith's?
We'll
or
bring
is
it with
be
us.
All?
We'll just okay. bring it with us.
Sure. Okay.
Let's just go right now, guys.
We'll bring a boombox. Yeah. Bye, everybody.
I can just beatbox if you want.
Oh, that's good. You stand in the corner and beatbox, and I'll yeah.
There you go.
This Water. Is getting awesome, listeners. Yeah. I hope you all come out.
It's one of those fun things. So. Anyway, let's. We've heard enough about my karaoke, so we'll turn that down. Let me turn that off because I don't want to accidentally go back to Billy Idol because no one wants that. Not even Billy Idol, oddly enough, who did come out of the 90s alive, but weird. Although he was good in The Wedding Singer.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Playing himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, who else is Billy Idol going to play? So this week, Miley Cyrus in the news again, but it really wasn't her fault because Sinead O'Connor decided to jump on the Miley bandwagon and pen an open letter. Anyway, she said things like, Miley, really? Who the fuck is advising you? Because taking me on is even more... I'm sorry. Hold on. I've gotten ahead of myself.
Are you reading like the second open letter?
No, I'm reading the response to the open letter. Okay. By the way, Sinead O'Connor looking hot.
Not so much.
Thank you. She penned her open letter to Miley and it actually crashed her blog. I'm guessing because all of the media outlets went to her blog, not because a lot of people did.
I think a lot of people did because it was linked in a number of articles I saw, you know, like on Jezebel Gawker, those kind of sites, mm-hmm. you know.
Brilliant.
I went to her blog. I read it.
I did too, but I guess I'm in the media.
I went to the thing too, but it was already down.
Yeah. Are we in the media because we're on this podcast?
Absolutely we are.
Yeah.
We're
part of new media. So there you go. The open letter was after the comparisons of the Wrecking Ball video to Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You. Which I don't see other than the fact that they were both crying. O'Connor insists that's where the similarities end. I agree. She doesn't want to be associated with the provocative former child star. And she does say she's concerned about her, though.
Did you read the letter? Or you didn't read the letter. Wait, did you or not?
I read part of it, yeah.
Okay.
She says nothing but harm will come in the long run from allowing yourself to be exploited. And it is absolutely not in any way empowerment of yourself or any other young woman for you to send across the message that you are to be valued even by you more for your sexual appeal than your obvious talent. So that's a weird backhanded compliment. She adds, I'm happy to hear I am somewhat of a role model for you and hope that's because of you. Because of that, you will pay close attention to what I'm telling you. The music business doesn't give a shit about you or any of us. They will prostitute you for all you're worth and cleverly make you think it's what you wanted. And when you end up in rehab as a result of being prostituted, they will be sunning themselves on their yachts in Antigua, which they bought by selling your body, and you'll find yourself very alone.
And that's my end game, is to get to rehab, really.
Yeah.
If I get there, I know I've made it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miley responded, basically telling her to go pound sand. So Sinead O'Connor went to Facebook, because Twitter is only 140 characters. She said, Miley, really? Who the fuck is advising you? Because taking me on is even more fucking stupid than behaving like a prostitute and calling it feminism. You have posted today tweets of mine which are 2 years old, which were posted by me when I was unwell and seeking help, so as to make them look like they are very recent. In doing so, you mock myself and Amanda Bynes for having suffered with mental health issues and having sought help. Anyway, Miley Cyrus's tweets. Sinead, I don't have time to write you an open letter because I'm hosting and performing in SNL this week. And then, so if you'd like to meet up and talk, let me know in your next letter. Smiley face. I don't think she means it.
I don't either.
I think she's just funning with her. So yeah, it's a back and forth duel between the girl that no one will stop talking about and the middle-aged former singer that no one cares about. Miley Cyrus on the Today Show Monday morning, too. It was really weird, though, because I saw the quote out of context, and TMZ made a big deal of it, about Miley Cyrus saying she was going to stop having sex at 40 because that's when people stopped having sex and blah, blah, blah. And then I actually watched the clip, and Matt Lauer asked her if this being sexy thing was something that she would do for a while and then fade away. And then you could very obviously hear her joking tone when she said, yeah, probably when I'm around 40, that's when people stop having sex, right? And he goes, you know how old I am? And she goes, about 40.
Nah.
And Matt Lauer's like 55. So, yeah, it was all a big... It's not serious. She's having fun. She's 20.
Yeah, and I think what she's really doing is she's getting attention, and that's the best way for her to... Right now, in today's oversaturated music market, the best way to get people's attention and penetrate is by doing something crazy like this, which is kind of sad, really.
But if you're a woman, you mean...
Yes, right. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, you could, but if you wrote a wrecking ball naked, I don't... Although, did you see SNL this week?
I did not, no.
They had the start of it, and she said, we're not going to do the wrecking ball sketch, and they cut to Bobby Moynihan sitting naked on a wrecking ball.
Nah, that's funny.
Which was hilarious. So, yeah, and she was so good. She really was on SNL. I mean... The sketches, she was fine, but as a musical act, she was fantastic. She really was.
I mean, I think that was... Sinead's first letter was definitely... I mean, it was heavy-handed, and I can see why Miley would be offended. But underneath it, I think what she was trying to say was that if you put out too much sexiness, people are going to forget. She said it'll obscure your talent. People will forget that they're substance to you. And she really is, you know, she really is a professional and she really is talented. And I think, I don't know. I don't think like her career is ruined because she's sexy. Like she'll be fine, you know, but I see Sinead's point that people aren't really talking about what a great voice she has right now.
No, but people are paying attention to her music.
That's true. And
the argument about marketing is you want to get people in the door. Because you can put out the greatest music in the world, and if nobody knows it, no one will hear it. And it doesn't reach anybody. So that's the other side of the argument. And the other question is, who asked Sinead O'Connor anyway?
The media did, because I guess she was saying a lot of people were calling her after, after Miley was saying that she's commented on her in an interview she had with Butt Cosmo or Vanity Fair or something like that.
Like Sinead and Miley were linked in the media because they said the video was similar, and then reporters started calling Sinead.
Well, Miley said she was inspired. Her video was inspired by what Sinead did, so they were calling Sinead for comment. So I don't think Sinead was just, I just want to weigh in on this because I have something to say. I think she was actually asked. I mean, of course, she wants to get a little publicity for herself too, but I think she was coming from a place of, from the heart and from her own experience. I don't think she was doing anything horrible personally.
Yeah, it just seems like a very odd person to be asking about Miley. I mean, Britney Spears, okay, ask her. Ask Justin Timberlake, somebody who has a similar background and experience, but an Irish singer who had one hit that was really a Prince cover song 20-something years ago and is most famous for tearing up a picture of the Pope on SNL. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of bands looking to get attention, Arjun, you're just sad you didn't think of this first, right?
I actually did think of it. I just didn't think of it to implement it, actually.
Oh, there you go. You just didn't put the plan into action.
Nope, that's it.
Well, we all know the Westboro Baptist Church, the God Hates Fags people from Kansas. Well, a punk band from Sacramento shot a porno on the church's front lawn, which made me chuckle. Topeka, Kansas. It was a nice sunny day just before noon in the small but well-known city of Topeka when punk band Get Shot from California arrived at the Westboro Baptist Church to film their bass player, Laura Lush, masturbate on the front lawn, completely naked.
Uh-oh.
There was a lot of traffic, and we saw a few cops at a coffee shop a few blocks away. We barely had enough gas, money, and cocaine to make it to Denver for our next concert. Since we can't afford ball, we had to cut a little short before the cops got called. Oh, bail. Sorry. The screen's a long way away. If someone will bail us out, we will bring a group of girls and a whole camera crew when we come back through in a few months. That's from J.P. Hunter of Get Shot. They're no strangers to law enforcement and say they have spotted undercover police officers at their concerts to see if public indecency or drug use occur on stage. The band recently started a free porn site, GetShotGirls.com, where uncensored Westboro video can be viewed. So there you go. GetShotGirls.com. Probably not safe for work.
No, definitely not. I went there. But
did you?
Yeah. And it's
it's free porn.
I read an interview actually with JP. What's his name? JP Hunter? Is that?
I don't know. I closed the window.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, with the singer in Vice yesterday. And it was essentially the interview was taken like a day and a half after they sent out the press release about that. And he just said, there's been label interest. He's been contacted by so many media outlets. He's essentially been doing nothing but interviews in the last day and a half. They've got somewhere in the, 1,000 Facebook likes in a few hours or whatever. So while we're talking about things you do to draw attention to your music, it definitely worked for them.
Find a lady to masturbate or swing on a ball for you, and you're good to go.
Well, especially if they're in your band already.
Yeah, that helps.
But I guess one thing, I don't know, they market themselves as we're the sleaziest punk band, but it's really only the ladies that are doing anything on video. And I don't know, if they're so sleazy, how come the guys don't get involved or do video? I don't know. There's a little part of me that's this is pretty exploitive.
Yeah. Maybe their fans are the sleazy aspect because they're just really into that.
Could be.
That could be it. It could also be, you remember the couple that got caught having sex in the shed and he's charged with public indecency because you could see his penis. So yeah, there's that.
You could see everything in these videos. I don't know. I only watched the one on the Westboro Church, but they had a trailer kind of going when you're trying to get in there. And there, it seems like there's quite a few women involved, more than are in the band.
Interesting. So yeah, that's what's going on. And they're getting a lot of support because the Westboro Baptist Church is really a horrific group of jackasses.
Hear, hear.
Also free porn.
Well, yeah, there's that. But it's not like it's hard to find free porn on the internet.
I can't wait till their next local show. Do we know when they're playing next?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I haven't looked it up.
I don't know. We should.
Is going to be pretty crazy, I bet.
Ted, can you look that up while you have your phone out, your Windows phone?
Sure. Thank you for the pimp on the Windows phone.
There you go. And while you're doing,
which app should I use? Just kidding.
Whichever one.
What's the name of the band again?
Get Shot.
Get Shot.
Get Shot. Gotcha.
Yeah. While you're looking that up, let's do this.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool.
Tool. All right, first up in cooler tool, punk porn. Becca.
Oh, you're making me... Well, I have a really mixed opinion on this because I think that it's cool that they wanted to do something drastic to get attention and it worked instantly. It's Tool that there aren't more tools involved in the porn.
Ah.
So you're saying the porn would be better with more cock?
I just think that if you're going to be we're so sleazy and we're up for anything, it shouldn't just be your girlfriends and your bass player in the videos. You should put it out there.
Ted, do you think they should put it out there? What do you think? Punk porn?
Yeah, put it out there. It's cool to have punk porn, but if you're going to be a porny, sleazy band, just put it all out there. Get it on the internet for free.
Hootie, would you like to weigh in on punk porn? Cool or tool?
Cool.
Okay. Arjun?
I say cool, but in rebuttal to Becca, no one wants to see a dude whip it out and jerk off on the lawn of a church.
That's very, very true.
No one?
I'm sure someone does.
Well, there are kids at the church, so no. Because a penis is a weapon, if you ask some people.
An axe.
This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for fighting. This is for fun. It's cool. Anyway, up next in Cooler Tool, Sinead O'Connor. Arjun.
I'm going to say it's kind of tool-y. I mean, she definitely did not need to do an open letter. And the fact that she did kind of seemed like she was more just hopping on the bandwagon to say what she feels about stuff. That was kind of toolish.
Hootie, what say you?
Cool, because this week people are talking about Sinead O'Connor.
Ted?
I thought it was cool. I mean, I understand what you guys are saying, but I think she, you know, it was a half marketing ploy and a half. I think she was trying to give some information, knowledge to Miley, and that's fine.
Becca?
I think I'm always going to think Sinead O'Connor is cool, and I've had that song about black boys on mopeds in my head since I first read this open letter like a week ago, and it's a really good song, y'all.
Sinead O'Connor, oddly, Becca and I will disagree. Sinead O'Connor, what? Always a tool. Always a tool. She's an old school tool from way back in the day. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Miley Cyrus. Ted.
I think she's cool, but I hope she does rein it in a bit and focus on her talent and not swing around naked and licking sledgehammers, because I think that's a bit much.
Hootie.
Tool.
Becca.
I'm just going to say tool for dragging Amanda Bynes into this while Amanda Bynes is trying to heal.
That is a fair point. Arjun.
I think she's the definition of a tool because she is using herself and her body to better the situation.
Until she can put her tongue back in her mouth, I'm still going to have to go with tool, even though I'm Miley Cyrus. I'm on Team Miley. I am on Team Miley. But put your tongue in your mouth, girlfriend. That's all I got to say.
Get shot.
What? Get shot. Have you found their tour dates yet,
kind
Ted?
Of. I mean, yeah, I did. It's
are you surfing porn?
Well, I was looking at Westboro Baptist porn, but I'm also looking at this page. So they're going to Medford, Oregon, Redmond, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, Redwood City, California, L.A. But you want to know when they're going to be in Sacramento, don't
you? Yeah, they're a Sacramento band. Why aren't they playing in Sacramento?
Yeah.
I don't know. When's Wallpaper playing in Sacramento now?
Well, Wallpaper just played in Sacramento.
Oh. I know, and we were out of town, and we missed it.
Wow.
I am sad.
I tried to put you on the spot, and you had an answer for me.
They started the launch festival.
I just see through November 30th in San Jose. There's nothing for Sacramento on this.
That strikes me as being slightly suspicious.
A little bit, yeah.
They sold out.
Maybe they're looking for a church as we speak. It's hard to say. So the government is still shut down as we record this, and I have the over-under on the government shutdown at 2 weeks. I'm thinking that 2 weeks is a little short for this one. So this came out. CNN is now the network of we left your mic on and recorded you when you didn't think so. This is an exchange between Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, who are both from Kentucky.
Do you have a second?
I'm all wired up here.
I just did CNN. I just go over and over again. We're willing to compromise. We're willing to negotiate. I don't think they poll tested. We won't negotiate. I think it's awful for them to say that over and over again.
Yeah, I do too. And I just came back from the 2-hour meeting with him, and that was basically the same view privately as it was publicly.
I think if we keep saying we wanted to defund it, we fought for that, but now we're willing to compromise on this. I think they can't. We're going to. Well, I know we don't want to be here, but we're going to win this, I think.
Of course you are.
It's all about winning if you're in the Tea Party.
So winning. That whole exchange started with, I'm all wired up here.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
maybe he meant he couldn't go walk around the corner to have this shady conversation.
Yeah. I think he took it as, I can't step out from this location where I am. I'm wired up. As opposed to, look, if anybody has a microphone anywhere around you, there's a chance you're being recorded.
Oh.
Like right now.
Oh, my God. A microphone in front of my face.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So, yeah. And I don't know. I heard that and I was a little bit heartened that the president of the United States, what he says publicly is the exact same thing as he's saying privately.
Yeah. Who knew?
I thought that was kind of a good thing. Call me crazy.
I'd say that.
You know, it's like, oh, so the president is saying the exact same thing behind closed doors as he is to the public. That's truthful scoundrel.
How dare he?
In the tradition of Lincoln and Washington, he's telling the truth. How dare he? We're going to win this. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm befuddled by this whole shutdown thing. I really am. I don't know.
Have you been following former podcast host Larry Mead's shutdown vacation on Facebook?
No. You know, I see a little bit of it. Larry works for the government. He works for a government agency. So he's calling it a shutdowncation, I believe, is the terminology he's created.
Well, it seemed like the first few days he was like, yay, I'm doing this. Yay, I'm doing that. Like, I'm having so much fun. And then today it was sort of like, because I know that his partner works from home, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was sort of implying that he might, in fact, be driving his partner a little crazy with what he termed a nonstop talent show.
I can imagine this happening.
I know. Hi, Larry, if you're listening. I don't know. I think it's really kind of fun to watch because he's got a really positive view on this whole thing, I think.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he's in a situation where he can just hang out at home and have a good time, and he's not, you know, a lot of government workers who are in this situation have got families, and they're like going, okay, how am I going to make my mortgage payment? How am I going to do this? How am I, you know, where is all this going to come down? And Larry, thankfully for him, is not in that position, so he's sort of making the best of it and being Larry.
He's making lemonade.
Exactly, Larry-nade. So it's all working out for him, but it's, I mean, the national parks are closed. They're starting to close state parks. The FDA is closed. The Food and Drug Administration is closed. These aren't good things,
right?
In the long run. I mean, we kind of need a government in at least in certain aspects.
So now that all the camps have refused to talk to each other, what do you think is gonna like bust us out of this?
I have no idea. That's why I put the over under at 2 weeks, because at 2 weeks, that's when people start missing paychecks.
Right.
And when a lot of government workers really start missing a full paycheck, that's when you're going to start to get a lot more pressure from some of the unions that represent these government agencies and various other things. And things are going to start to go, you know, to hell in a handbasket, for, you know, lack of an old timey term. So I don't know. I really don't know, because we want to defund Obamacare and now we're willing to compromise. This isn't really a compromise. Mm-hmm. When Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act was passed as a law, signed by the president and reviewed by the Supreme Court, and they're like, that dastardly Obama, and this is terrible for the country, and well, they jammed it through. No, it was passed by Congress, signed by the president and reviewed by the Supreme Court. It went through every branch of the government, you dicks.
Yeah.
Plus everyone.
They did compromise along the way when they did the bill. I don't know.
I mean, absolutely Democrats. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And also, the shutdown does not stop Obamacare, which is going really strong in California right now.
Right, because the state of California decided to get out in front of it and start having the state, I forget exactly what it's called. I'm missing the terminology.
Covered California.
Well, that's what it's called, Covering California. Exchange. It's a health, that's what I'm looking for, health the healthcare exchange.
Yeah.
Where it basically, they pulled all of the insurance companies, because that's what it is. You get insurance from insurance companies. I know, crazy. And they just make it easier in all one place, so that you can go to Covered California and go, oh, these are my options as an individual to buy health insurance. I can get this one, or this one, and this is how much this is going to cost, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of states just didn't do that. They said, ah, well, screw you.
Yeah.
We're just not going to do it.
Because.
Right.
Obama.
And I love the fact that their biggest argument is like, young people, opt out of Obamacare because you're going to have to pay to take care of old people. Hey, guess what? That's what insurance is. Is you pay in when you're healthy because you're taking care of the people who aren't. And it'll work the other way when you're not healthy. That's how insurance works.
It's a crazy concept.
I know. And I got into a couple of arguments on Twitter with people this week.
I'm sure.
Just because if the hashtag on Twitter, Make DC Listen, is the most ridiculous thing ever, because it's just a bunch of neocons and nitwits who are talking about how it's the will of the people that there be no Obamacare, when in fact that 66% of the people actually want the Affordable Care Act and everything that goes along with it. So
I think more people want the Affordable Care Act if you don't call it Obamacare. Like, if you pull the same question and you call it Obamacare, the numbers go down.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel did that exact experiment.
Did he?
And that's what he found out. People were saying that they would prefer the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah. And, of course, this is our first show of the week, so you know what day it comes out on, right?
What day is it, Nate?
Oh, guess what day it is? Julie. Huh? Julie. Huh? Guess what day it is? Julie.
You know, it's all fun and games, too. Until some middle schoolers get hold of the idea.
Oh no, not middle schoolers.
Middle schoolers.
They're the worst. They're worse than Obama.
This is my favorite thing now, Arjun, on Wednesdays.
What day is it, Mike? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Leslie, guess what today is?
Here it comes.
Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
So that's the remix of the Geico ad. Well, we're having fun with it. We enjoy it. But middle schoolers love stuff like this, too, and it's causing a problem.
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's the original commercial.
It's hump day.
Have you seen this commercial? It's gone over 15 million hits on YouTube, and it's become one of the most memorable commercials to date. We're talking about Geico's hump day commercial, but not everyone's laughing. Some teachers say the phrase is catching on so much, it's becoming disruptive in their classrooms.
Oh, no!
South Korea Eyewitness News reporter Kim Lucy is in Vernon with that story.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
If you've
guess
seen it, it's probably made you stop and watch.
Anybody?
Giving you a chuckle or maybe even a full-on laugh.
Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
But the hump day catchphrase from the Geico Camel commercial is catching on in the hallways at Vernon Center Middle School.
Everybody's walking around in the hallways and saying, it's hump day, like in that weird voice.
I don't really think it's that big of a disruption if people are just doing it in the hallways.
The superintendent tells me that some sixth grade boys have been using the phrase so much it's becoming disruptive. And the kids say
that doesn't sound like sixth grade boys to me.
On Wednesdays, it's every day.
Well, sometimes there's a counting down till when it is.
They do it every day.
Okay, that's getting out of
here.
let's just keep it to Wednesdays and we'll be all right.
Students say some kids have been called into the office, but the superintendent says this isn't a district or even school-wide issue. She says the teachers just wanted to nip it in the bud.
I think it's all kind of silly. I think there's bigger things to take care of in middle school.
No, this is the most important issue.
Obviously, you don't want the kids to be disruptive.
Some parents say they'll just be happy when it dies back out.
It's getting old now, the hump day thing.
says the woman with the Run DMC shirt.
I feel...
In Vernon with the Mobile Newsroom.
Since Christiana is not here, I feel compelled to say this is not a thing. Like, they were like, oh, it's middle schools. Well, no, it's just one middle school. Well, it's just sixth grade. It's just in the hallways. It's actually just one group of boys. Like, how did this get on the news?
It's just one teacher who cannot handle their students.
Right.
You know, I hearken back to my days as a sixth grader, and I'm really sad that this wasn't there then, because I would have totally been doing the, what?
You know what we had around this age was when In-N-Out Burgers, like, first kind of arrived in this area, and so the thing was, like, for the guys to stick In-N-Out stickers on girls' butts. And that was, like...
Classy.
That's good.
I not heard of that one.
I remember what's up taking over the hallway.
Yeah.
That was a big one too.
Hilarious.
Big one.
Whatever happened to those guys? Oh wait, never mind.
Yeah. It was all over with. But yeah, so shockingly, sixth grade boys are disruptive.
They're acting immature.
No. What will happen next?
Call the news. Like, how did this even get on the news? I'm so baffled.
Well, would you like the real answer? Hootie, would you like to attempt to answer this?
It's because they could make a promo where they could play the commercial, which would make you want to watch it later.
I think they dug for it. They called schools. Is this a trend at your school now?
Well, there's that. But you also heard how they edited the news story to have several clips from the commercial in it. It was really well edited. To put it all together, what they did was they said, okay, what's everybody talking about? And somebody went, oh, well, at my kid's school, apparently this is so popular that blah, 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 blah. That would happen in a meeting. And someone went, we need to do a story about this. Because it's what people are talking about.
Hootie, do you also work in television promotions?
I do.
Oh, okay.
He does.
Two experts in the room.
It's true. It's there. Sometimes there's no good reason for why it's on the news other than you're looking for something that isn't the same old, same old.
It's a slow day and we want you to stay with us after The Voice. Not kidding.
Former Browns quarterback Bernie Kosar. You remember him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was a quarterback in the 80s. He blamed a porous offensive line for his failure of a field sobriety test.
Nice.
He was pulled over for speeding in suburban Cleveland last Sunday, and after the officer detected a strong smell of alcohol from the car, they asked him to perform that standard field sobriety test. He refused the breathalyzer and then failed tests when he was asked to stand on one leg, walk in a straight line, etc. He blamed the inability to pass the test on various surgeries he's endured during his pro career because his offensive line couldn't block.
Oh, brother.
Are you getting a text, Nate? What's happening?
It's just an email.
Is Christiana online?
No, it's an email from Rock My Run. So,
oh, okay.
Have you been rocking your runs lately?
Not for the past couple of days, but it's happened in the past. No, the Rock My Run thing is you sign up for this thing and you get like a 30-minute or 45-minute mix that you run to at a certain number. Yeah, it's really interesting
cool.
stuff. Anyway, from the Associated Press, the police said, I asked Mr. Kosar if he could recite the alphabet starting at E and ending at W. Mr. Kosar started E, F, G, P, L, M, O, Q. And from there, it trailed on with more letters that were not correct and ended at X.
He even messed up L, M, N, O, P. That's kind of just like one gimme.
It's elementary.
Phrase, right?
Well, not.
That's kind of a word thing. I don't know.
Not when you're hammered. We'll try that at karaoke.
Damn
back.
You.
See how you do.
Offensive line. I can't do my alphabet anymore.
His attorney entered a not guilty plea on his client's behalf last Monday. The pretrial hearing has been scheduled for December 9th in Cleveland, so we'll keep an eye on that. My guess is the offensive line won't have to, you know, do the time for him. Just my guess. But, yeah, I've heard a lot of excuses for why I can't pass a field sobriety test. I have a cousin who was not drunk when he was pulled over, and he could not pass a field sobriety test because he's really uncoordinated.
Oh.
And he told the officer that, too. He said, listen, I'm not going to be able to walk a straight line because I'm really uncoordinated. Hootie, yes?
I once had to do a field sobriety test, and I asked the cop if I could pee first, and he let me.
That was nice of him. That added nothing to the conversation, but thank you.
It does make sense, though.
Well, sure, because you wouldn't want to be waterlogged. It might throw you to one side or another if your bladder were too full.
Would it lower your alcohol content even
no.
a little?
No. No, it would not.
I thought you had a useful strategy there.
Not unless you drank your pee.
It was at a state park.
Right, and like flushed, let it flush through again. Yeah.
Can you wait for about 4 hours before we do this, officer? Because I'm sure I'll feel much better then. So, yeah, it's... Not a good situation.
Wait, your friend, what happened?
Oh, yeah, my cousin. Well, he could not do the close your eyes and put your finger to your nose. He couldn't walk a straight line. And he said, look, I haven't had any drinks. I'm just uncoordinated. And he said, will you take a breathalyzer? And he said, yes. So he took the breathalyzer, and it was a 0.00. And the cop then banged on the thing like it was broken, asked him to do it again, and he did it again, and he blew a 0.00. And he said, look, I'm just uncoordinated.
Nice.
I'm not drunk. And it was all because he had just ever so slightly touched the center line, which is one of the things they look for if you're out driving in the middle of nowhere.
Oh.
Is if you cross the center line in any way, shape, or form, it is reason to pull you over.
So was he so uncoordinated that it affected the steering of his car?
No, he just took a corner a little tight. It was nothing like that.
Okay.
It was one of those things. When you're driving out in the middle of nowhere, you're not worried about keeping it completely in the lane.
I'm not worried about that in general.
Exactly.
Wherever I'm driving. You're right, sweetheart? You'll notice the... Never mind.
Oh, boy.
Driving is fun.
I'm a famously nervous passenger. Not with Ted, but with everybody, so...
I'm a famously... What am I?
Cavalier driver?
Cavalier. I'm a cavalier. I'm a little patient sometimes. I'm good.
Those were very bad times.
Anyway, the music can only mean one thing. It's time for Florida Corner.
Yay.
Yay. Bernie Kosar went to the University of Miami, which is in Florida. So that could have counted, but it didn't. Anyway, let's start out. A Boynton Beach man was behind bars last Wednesday after police say he sold drugs to an undercover officer on four separate occasions. the same cop.
Wait a minute.
Is that cop also a drug addict? What happened here?
Justin Baker sold cocaine and prescription painkillers to the officer in June and in August. That's according to the arrest report. The two met at a subway on Linton Boulevard in a neighborhood near the Village Academy School. Baker was arrested and booked into the Palm Beach County Jail. He's facing one count of selling cocaine, two counts of selling it near a school or park, one count of selling opium or a derivative near a school or park. He's still in jail in lieu of $50,000 bail. But here's a tip for you. When you sell it to an undercover cop, remember his face. And don't sell it to him again 2 months later.
What if he's really nice, though? I mean, is that an excuse?
He really needed drugs bad.
He looked bad.
It's true.
What if he grew a mustache?
Thanks for adding. Anyway, It's time for the ladies. Headline, vulgar dancing in front of children lands woman behind bars. That's right. A woman was arrested, accused of dancing in a vulgar manner in front of a school bus full of kids.
Go, girl.
According to the arrest report... Also from Lake County, Valerie Dixon, who's 27, grabbed herself and screamed profanities at a school bus waiting to turn at an intersection.
She grabbed herself and screamed profanities?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to be wild, or was she provoked?
Well, the deputy on patrol said he saw Dixon, quote, bent over at the waist, holding her ankle with one hand. Her other hand was grasping her genital area.
Is she also in a punk band? Because I think that's the move.
It could be. All the while, children on the bus looked on.
And now she has a record deal.
She was charged with disorderly conduct, that's all.
Sinead O'Connor has some words for you, lady.
You're obscuring your talent.
She apparently has a history of complaints, including being banned from multiple businesses, but no criminal charges.
Oh, there she is.
So fine upstanding citizen.
I've been banned from multiple businesses.
All I have to say is Lauryn Hill has let herself go.
Oh,
wow.
But that woman, I don't know what's going on there, but I think from that picture, she has a goatee.
Yeah, she does.
It's not really Lauryn Hill, by the way.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the reaction back. I was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a goatee. I don't know what's going on. sorry. I've lost my mind. That's how it goes sometimes. You know, every now and then there's a letter to the editor that we like to read, whether it's I loaned my phone to my son and he saw... video of me having sex with my ex.
Oh, yeah.
But
what day is it?
It's hump day. What?
It was on topic. Oh, no.
Yes, this is for Emily Yaffe. The question, too horny for hubby. All my feelings of self-worth hinge on how often I can get my husband to have sex with me. How can I get past this? I've always, and I really do mean always, had a raging libido. During my first marriage, I had sex with several other people because my husband couldn't keep up with me. Ted, did you want to say something or you're fanning yourself?
I'm feeling hot.
Okay.
Thanks for asking, though.
When I married my second husband 8 years ago, I promised myself that I'd be faithful, and I had been, but I fantasized constantly about having sex with others. My husband and I have sex 3 or 4 times a week, and I masturbate at least twice a week, but that's not enough to keep me happy. Oh, no. Whenever my husband needs a day off, I feel unattractive and rejected, and I start feeling sorry for myself. Rationally, I know he loves me, but I know he thinks I'm sexy. Sorry, Rod Stewart moment in my head. He takes great care of me emotionally, and other than sexual needs incompatibility, we have a stress-free marriage and a wonderful life together. So why does it hurt so deeply when he doesn't want to have sex with me? And why do I need so much sex to feel good about myself? If you're wondering, I'm female 38 and was never sexually abused. What do you think the answer to this question is, Becca?
Well, I mean, at first I was just like, okay, well, you guys have different, you know, everybody has their different rates of frequency that they prefer, and hers is just on the higher end of the spectrum. But the part about her saying, you know, that she doesn't feel okay, she feels bad about herself every single time there's one day without sex. I mean, that kind of points to something. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, like that the sex is supposed to stand in for maybe some work that she's supposed to do on herself and her own self-esteem. I mean, if you need someone to be on you, telling you that you're beautiful every single day, or you can't like feel decent as a human, then I don't know, perhaps a little therapy.
Be on you in many ways. So here's the answer to the question. There have been so many times over the years when I've wished I could add a libido-based couples matching service. Mm. You, sir, the one who thinks your wife should have sex with you every morning and night, have I got a gal for you. Ma'am, you're satisfied if your sexual encounters are limited to the summer and winter solstice, and I've got an equally celibate guy I wish to introduce you to. Now, there's nothing wrong with being powered by a raging libido as long as you can channel this explosive energy productively. And apparently, you can't. You must recognize this physical engine is actually a service of what sounds like a shriveled and needy ego. Unless a man is constantly at full attention, you feel unadmired and unloved. I think you should get a complete physical and mental checkup because more than your libido is out of whack. Jeez. You need to address the yawning hole in your self-esteem and your crotch while letting your husband have a well-deserved refractory period.
Good job, Becca.
Yeah.
I should be an advice columnist, y'all. You're I think that'd tactful. Be a really fun job.
Yeah, I thought you would get close. That's why I asked.
Good job.
You nailed it.
I do listen to Savage Love, the Savage Love cast all the time, and people are always, I mean, that's a huge thing that comes up all the time is like couples. And it's so funny because people will be like, my husband never wants to have sex. We only have sex twice a week. And then other people are like, my husband always wants to have sex. He wants to have sex twice a week. You know, it's all relative.
It is. And you got to have a balance somewhere in there. But yeah, that's always the challenge too. When you get somebody who's like, yeah, I want to do it all the time. And no, I don't want to do it. So.
And it can destroy relationships over time, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough.
Absolutely.
And I think that's probably hard to gauge because in the beginning, everybody's like, yay! And then, you know, over time, it sort of evens out to whatever your regular pattern is. And by then, you're already into the person and maybe it's not compatible.
Just not as often.
Yeah, see, I like to do it on a merit-based system.
What does that mean?
That means if you were really good last time, you get another shot.
Oh.
And then he just keeps going from there. So you can get on a run. You can have one down when you get a chance to bounce back. So it's merit-based. You got three in a row, and then you're out.
Do you get merit badges as well?
I don't. That's actually a pretty good idea, though.
I was picturing, like, gold stars or something, like a little chart, you know? Yeah.
Like a patch, like a toy patch. And a
Well, I know Derek Jeter gives, like, gift baskets, but I think that's just to be like, well, I've banged you twice, and now I'm going to move on to another hot chick.
That's classic.
It could be, like, if you get so many gold stars by the end of the year, then you get a pizza party or like, a weekend getaway or something, you know?
Wow. Reward cards.
Yeah.
You get some Calgon to take you away.
A frequent flyer card, yes.
Starbucks gift card.
Hey, thanks. That was awesome. Here, get a latte on me.
It's actually a really good idea. I'm going to start implementing that.
Incentives.
Note to self.
Nate Centives.
Nate Centives.
Hey, if you've got a reward system you'd like to fulfill, the best way to do it is to save money by shopping Amazon through the Nate Darling Show. It's simple. Just go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and figure out any reward-based system that you'd like to for your lovers, or your friends, or your family. Whatever. Hey, and Halloween's coming up, too, so you can get your trick-or-treat candy. You can get your sexy whatever-it-is-you-want-to-be costume.
Sexy hobo.
Oh, you could do that?
Hey, Nate, I have Amazon Prime. Can I still buy things through your site and get that fast shipping?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Amazon Prime does not in any way impinge upon that at all.
Oh.
In fact, Nate, yes, Ted.
I want to buy the new wallpaper CD. Is it available through Amazon.com?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Is it literally not?
No, I think it probably is.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have everything. I can check if you'd like.
No, it's quite all right.
Are you sure?
I was just
hold on. It'll just take a second.
Arch
why don't you cover
the 25th
cover
for me
for a second?
Isn't this wallpaper's like major label?
Yeah, this is our first release on a major label, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, we listened to it. It was a good album. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, how is it being a major label band? Is it that much different from what you've been doing all this time?
Well, I think it is. It's helpful in giving us opportunities that would normally be too expensive for us to take a chance to do, like flying to New York to do a show that would be really awesome and great for the band. But normally we just wouldn't have enough money to pay for the tickets or to rent the equipment when we get there and stuff like that. And having a label who's willing to kind of go out there on a limb for you financially is kind of the biggest impact that I've seen.
Nice. They won't buy you a PS2.
No.
And yes, you can get Ricky Reed Is Real by Wallpaper on audio CD for $10.64 or MP3 Music for $7.99.
That's a deal.
Yeah.
It is. on there. And then you can also get the Doo-Doo Face by Wallpaper from 2009.
Yeah. Which I think is still my favorite, although I have to listen to Ricky Reed Israel more often. But
it'll grow on you. But the good thing,
love Ricky Reed Israel, but Doo-Doo Face makes me laugh so much. I love it.
And Doo-Doo Face has my face on the backside of the album, so that's a double win.
Does it? Because I only have it, you know, from iTunes, so I never get to see the back.
You never get to see the backside.
You're the face of Doo-Doo Face?
I'm on the other side.
You're the backside face?
I'm the Doo-Doo.
Oh.
And then Face is on the front.
Whose face is on the front?
Ricky Reed's
face.
Okay.
Yeah. You're the doo-doo. I got it. Okay. Yeah.
I am brown.
The other, well, at least you're on there. The other really cool thing about Amazon is if you're into vinyl, for instance, if you're somebody who's into getting records, if you buy a vinyl, and I don't see vinyl on here, but if you're like, I want to get the vinyl of such and so, what they include at Amazon is they rip it to MP3s and you get it emailed to you, so you don't have to then rip your vinyl into your computer. So you get an MP3 copy as well as the vinyl copy. So that's something, if you're really into music, that's kind of a cool way to do it if you want to go old school and get the vinyl thing.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah,
so you can
still
scratch your records.
Yes, that's exactly what it's for.
Isn't that what people buy records for?
I actually recently found some vinyl copies of Doo-Doo Face in my closet. So if you'd like a vinyl copy.
Oh, we have a record player.
That would be so awesome.
I will bring it next time.
Oh my gosh,
I would love that. Can I ask you one more? I don't know. I don't want to hijack the show, but I'm like, oh, no, wallpaper question.
We have a minute before Small Town News.
She's okay. Starstruck.
So I guess I kind of am. That's embarrassing.
But, I can't see me. I'm sorry. No, Star Trek by us.
You know, because I'm Facebook friends with you with Wallpaper and I think with Ricky Reed or whatever. Uh-huh. And so, you know, there was right when the album came out, Ricky published a big letter about what a hard year he'd had and how things were just really tough. And it was a really sad letter, like death of a friend and having his house broken into and all that. Like, are you guys okay? Is everything okay?
I thank you for asking. We're doing good. We did lose our manager this year, which was pretty tough on all of us. But at the same time, we realized that the best way to honor him would be just to continue going in the path he set up for us and doing the best we possibly can and to move the band forward, too. I mean, that's what he was doing while he was alive and with us, so we'll keep doing it.
So. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And you guys are in good spirits with the Go-Gurt and the PS2 and
everything?
Oh,
definitely. The Go-Gurt is great.
balsamic vinegar.
I didn't get a chance to experience the balsamic vinaigrette. He was very protective about it.
Yeah.
What did he put it on?
Salad,
I guess. Wow, what a hippie.
I don't know.
Just kidding.
Whatever he would like.
The yogurt.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Arjun. We're gonna get the Small Town News. If you wanna hang out for the Friday show, we'll do another one with you. But right now, let's do this.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small Town News.
All right. Small Town News. Let me make the transition over here to the tablet because we've made the Plattsburgh Press Republican so popular that they now charge for their service. So I have to go on my tablet to get these small town news articles.
They're making money off of us and they still won't let me in to speak out.
I know, it's terrible. I was having a pretty good Sunday, up early, walked the dog, coffee, off to Sunday school and church. The cooler fall weather reminded me that it was time to change from my white summer purse to my fall purse. I double-checked to make sure I had everything. After church, I decided to cook brunch when I got home, but I didn't have bacon or sausages. So I headed up Cornelia Street to my favorite grocery store, which shall remain nameless.
Susan, is this you?
It's not Gordy Little. The parking lot was packed with more Canadian and out-of-state auto license plates than New York ones, a financial blessing to local businesses, but not great for parking. I planned on buying only breakfast meat, so I didn't get a shopping cart. Naturally, I ended up with my arms full of food items. The shortest line wasn't the express one, so I moved down a few checkouts. After piling my groceries on the conveyor, I searched my purse for my red card holder that contains my debit card and most of my credit cards, store discount cards, and my driver's license.
What else is in there? Please, tell us.
I thought it strange that I didn't have it, but I did find my checkbook.
Oh, God, you're a checkbook person?
Oh, my gosh, that's Ted's pet peeve.
Wow, I hate this person even more than I did a second ago.
The clerk scanned my keychain store discount card and said the total of my order was $15.15. Uh-huh. I told her I left my debit card and ID at home, but I'd write a check.
What a fascinating story.
She said, I need to see your driver's license.
Oh, no.
I explained to her again that I'd been shopping here more than 20 years, and I'd written checks for nearly 18 of those. And I had a store discount card, and I'd always used my debit card, but it must be in the computer system. She then asked, do you have another form of ID? I pulled out my birth certificate, random cards to other stores, and my passport. This has my picture on it, I said, showing her my passport that Homeland Security accepted the last time I flew. By then, the front-end manager came over and probably felt sorry for me, or more likely saw the customers piling up behind me. He took my keychain store discount card and said he could clear it through the customer service. A short minute later, he came back and said, no, the computer said I hadn't written a check there in a long while, so I needed my driver's license.
Wait, okay, passport is... That's equal to a driver's license. Like, that's a real form of ID that you can, like, show anywhere.
I think we're
going
to find out what happens.
You've never been to Price Chopper before.
No, I never have.
She asked, do you have another form of payment? To which I said, no, repeating calmly that I had left my cash and debit card at home. Sorry, she said, I can't do anything for you. Completely frustrated, I started poking around my purse and noticed my American Express credit card. Charged $15.15 of groceries on American Express? That grated against every financially responsible grain of my very being.
Why?
But I swiped the card and it was accepted. I couldn't believe the whole fiasco. When I got home, I told Toby that I was missing my cards. He said he saw my white purse on the table and noticed it's empty. Now I'm worried. I checked the bedroom nightstand and the dining room table, the couch cushions, and finally the computer room, and there it was, my red card case, sitting off of the side where I do not remember placing it, but at least I found it. I hate when I do things like that. I sure feel like an old fool, I groaned. Don't worry, honey, Toby said. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last time you do something like that. Not what I wanted to hear. I'll have to say the clerk wasn't to blame for my little dilemma. The receipt said check declined 4 times. She tried. If Homeland Security wants somebody investigated, they should send them to my local grocery store to cash a check. They have an ironclad security program in place. I can vouch for that. Okay. I guess the moral of the story is they shouldn't be so fashion conscious and keep the white pocketbook until you have time to take inventory of your stuff.
That's the lesson in all this.
One last thought, Ted. As always, be kind to each other. The world needs more kindness.
Oh. Okay. Wait. So something really important was revealed during this.
Yes.
Susan Tobias's husband's name is Toby Tobias.
My guess is that's a nickname, but sure, why not?
Toby Tobias.
Maybe his first name's Tobias also. Tobias.
Tobias.
Wow.
That was like...
What a rambling tale.
It was kind of like a weird Yelp review. Like, I was like, is she just going to be like, never shop at the Price Chopper again, like at the end of it? Mm-hmm.
Well, she refused to name them, so that was very nice
of
her.
Was it the Price Chopper?
It's the Price Chopper.
Yeah, it would have to be the Price Chopper.
Did you guys both shop there back in the day?
No. I was more of a Hannaford guy.
Yeah, Price Chopper sucks.
Well, clearly, they won't accept a passport. They're like, what is this? Like,
I don't get that at all.
You know who loved Price Chopper? My ex-wife. That's all you need to know about Price Chopper.
You know what else is weird? Like, the way that she kept, like, finding random things in her purse. Like, how big was this purse? It was like, I went through it a 17th time, and there was my birth certificate, and there was a credit card.
Who walks around with their passport and birth certificate?
Yeah.
That's weird, too.
It was very odd.
And I don't understand why she felt so conflicted using a credit card, even if it was American Express. Is that a small town thing?
She said it was financially irresponsible.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Because, like, you have to pay a little interest.
No, you don't, unless you don't pay your frickin' bill.
I can just see Ted behind her in line. I can just see her head, like, exploding. Like,
oh, man.
Yeah, so that's small town news, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Arjun, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arjun.
Get the new Wallpaper album on Amazon, iTunes, or your local record store if you can find it there. Go in and say hello to the stoner running the place. Anyway, we're going to leave you with some Jason Aldean right now. This is Crazy Town on the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye. Down the street, sign says Nashville, Tennessee. But I have found it's a crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings. Hollywood with a touch of twang. To be a star, you got to bang, bang, bang. Bend those strings till the hang. Make all the drunk girls scream and shout. We love it, we hate it, we're all just trying to make it in this crazy town. You pay your dues and you play for free, and you pray for a honky-tonk destiny. You cut your teeth in the smoky bars and live off the tips from a pickle jar.
Crazy Town.